Arizona Sports Enterprises and the University of Arizona proudly present the Tommy Lloyd Radio Show. Each week, the Cats head coach talks Wildcat basketball with the fans of Arizona. The Tommy Lloyd Show comes to you from Union Public House at the corner of Campbell and River in Tucson. Now, let's talk Wildcat basketball. With Coach Lloyd, here's your host, the voice of the Wildcats, Brian Jeffries.
All right, welcome back, everybody, at Union Public House, and we're back outdoors this week on another picture-perfect 72-degree day here in Tucson. Great to have you along on the radio or in person here. We're going to have a fun hour talking Wildcat basketball and more tonight as well. Tell you about that in just a second. The Wildcats are on the road this week as they head to Texas Tech on Saturday. That game will tip off at noon Arizona time, and then Tuesday to Oklahoma State in Stillwater, and that game will start at 7 o'clock, and then the Wildcats are back home after that. Obviously, a great weekend at home as the Wildcats won both, and they're now riding a 7-game win streak and tied for first place in the Big 12 standing. So a lot of exciting things going on. But we have a very special guest with us to kick things off tonight. It is probably one of the, I want to call it one of the secret gems on the U of A campus. And it's the racetrack industry program down there, which has been operating, believe it or not, for 50 years. And if you've ever been to a racetrack or know anything about racing or have dabbled in it at all, and you look at the program and you see the names of trainers and stewards, and you go, anybody that is involved in the racetrack industry program, oftentimes you're going to see somebody that graduated from the University of Arizona. It's a tremendous program, and we're pleased to have with us Robert Hartman. He's chair of the racetrack industry program at the University of Arizona. And Robert, I became aware of what you do years and years ago, and I just found it fascinating. And then to see all the U of A graduates that are out in the field right now working in every type of endeavor in terms of the horse racing track industry program, but 50 years. Congratulations on that.
Yeah, thank you. It's pretty amazing. We have trainers like Bob Baffert, Todd Pletcher, Hall of Fame trainers that came through the program right here in Tucson. And it's pretty cool. If you go to any racetrack around the country or even internationally, we have a graduate pretty much at every racetrack in the management ranks.
All right. So when students come in to the program starting out, I mean, most of them must have an interest in the industry. I mean, what are some of the questions freshmen have for you when they first arrive?
Who's going to win the first race? I mean, that's always a question we get, handicapping questions. But, you know, they want to know what careers they could get into. Yeah. And the horse racing industry has so many different careers. And one of the cool parts of the industry as an owner is you get to – name your horses. And one of the horses that we named was Coach Lloyd's Legacy. He's actually a grandson of Midnight Loot, named after somebody some people in the audience may know. Midnight Loot was a champion sprinter in 2007. So Midnight Loot was amazing. Bob Baffert, local Arizonans, owned him and named him Midnight Loot because of that prowess that Coach Olson had to flip recruits over at the last hour. So it's pretty cool that we have a grandson, essentially, of Midnight Loot. And we felt in the racetrack program that Coach Lloyd already has begun a legacy, and I'm sure it's just going to continue to grow and grow, win after win, season after season. So now we have a horse named after him called Coach Lloyd's Legacy, and that's really the connection between the two programs.
All right, now has Coach Lloyd's Legacy run any races yet?
Coach Lloyd Legacy is just a yearling, so he's just a little guy. The horses, thoroughbred horses, start racing when they're 2 years old, so he would start next year. And if he's a tenth of what his pedigree is, you know, if he could run anywhere near, he'll be a really nice racehorse, and we can be cheering for Coach Lloyd on the racetrack as well as from the stands at McHale.
Okay, where would the horse be stabled at? I mean, I gather racing all over the country maybe, but where's the home base?
Yeah, so for those of you that don't know, we have two farms here. We have the Almara Equine Center, which is located on Bear Canyon Road, so we have like 90 acres out there. And then those of you that drive up and down Campbell, you've driven by the Campus Agricultural Center there on the west side of the road. So it's pretty cool. This little guy is at the Almara Equine Center. And then he'll go to a trainer. We'll assign that probably towards the end of the year, October or November.
All right, we've got a couple minutes here with Robert Hartman, chair of the Racetrack Industry Program at the University of Arizona. Again, something that maybe more people need to know about because it is such a strong program and it's been in existence for 50 years now. So let's go through some of the careers. You mentioned them briefly. When students come to the U of A, they want to get into the racetrack industry. It can be all facets. So give us an idea of maybe some of the, I want to say favorites, but some that have some of the areas that graduates have headed into.
Yeah, for sure. So there's two paths. There's two different distinct paths you could take. One is the business path, so you can get into marketing or accounting or racing law. We have a couple of lawyers that came back to school in the racetrack program and now are legal counsel at different racetracks. So there's that business, what we'd consider a more traditional business path. And then there's the horse side of things. So you could be a breeder, you could be a trainer, you could be a vet. We have a number of folks starting in our program that's going to continue on to vet school. So a lot of different options. People don't realize how many different options. One that's probably close to your heart, we have a student now that wants to be a racetrack announcer. So he's called to Turf Paradise. He's called at other racetracks, Horseshoe Indianapolis, and he's 20 years old. He's already had this experience of calling at these different racetracks. So pretty cool, a lot of different career paths.
I marvel at racetrack announcers. I've been to the races, and I say, you know, because if they're called, one race is fine. You could probably memorize the horses in one race, but when they're there for a day, and there might be 10 races running, and they know these horses, and they have to put it to memory for the most part, I find that amazing.
Yeah, when I talk to racetrack announcers and I say, you know, how do you memorize everything? They said it's not the memorizing that's tough. It's the forgetting what you just memorized and remembering something new for the next race and then forgetting it and then memorizing something new for the following race. So it's quite an interesting profession. All racetrack announcers that I know, and I know plenty of them, tend to all be a little quirky, but they're all good folks, we have at least two that I know of racetrack announcers, one at Gulfstream Park, that are high-level announcers that came through our program.
Robert Hartman, chair of the Racetrack Industry Program at the University of Arizona. Robert, how did you get interested in all of this?
I came to Tucson. I was a Brooklyn kid, born and raised in Brooklyn, New York, and came out to Tucson for my degree in racetrack management, and then started my career at NYRA, which is Saratoga, Belmont, for those of you that know the Belmont Stakes and Aqueduct. Then moved out west and worked at Santa Anita. And then I ran Golden Gate Fields, which is in the San Francisco Bay Area. And they asked me to come back and head up the program. And I'm thrilled to be here, being around students. And I'm sure Coach talks about this with being around student athletes. It's just so energizing to see that youth and that passion for something that they love.
Tell us about the faculty you have.
Yeah, so we have a couple of folks at the farm that are more hands-on with the horses. And then we have two faculty in the racetrack program. So we're a total of like four. We're a small program, but we call ourselves small but mighty.
Yes.
You know, we're really passionate. And we're really passionate about hands-on experiences. We take field trips. We have alumni that come back to the university to speak to our students. And our alumni base is really our secret weapon. We have 50 years of graduates from the racetrack program that are out and about in the industry. So they provide internships. They provide real-life learning experiences for our students.
So because there's a business side of this, do students have to have a love of horses? Or is it the industry and the business side of it that a lot of them, you mentioned lawyers, et cetera, they can be an important part about it, but maybe they're not somebody that has owned a horse.
Right. Yeah, you don't have to own a horse to be part of the program. I would say everybody has a passion for the horse because the whole industry is built around the horse. If you don't have a love of the horse, a love being, you know, around horses, it's a pretty tough industry to work. You know, it's like being a chef and not loving food, right? I mean, you want to be around what you love. So everybody has a passion for the horse and the welfare for the horse. So, yeah, that's a shared passion for all
okay.
of us.
Okay, of all the great horses, Secretariat, Seattle Slough, I have to throw that one in because it's one of my favorites. Is there one that stands out to you that you've watched over the years?
Yeah, so I mean, most people will go for those big names, right? That were flashy, that might have set a track record. I like the horses that are like the blue collar, try every day. They may not be the fastest. They may not you know, be the most talented. You know, God might have not graced them with perfect athleticism, but boy, they try, right? So I can, you know, rattle off 10 of them. Nobody in this the audience would know any of their names, but those are the ones I love because they give it their all every single time. And, you know, they may not be the biggest horse. They may not be built perfectly. You know, to use a basketball example, they may not be 7'2", right? But they're the, and I think in basketball, it's the same thing. People root for kind of that little guy, right? Yeah. The little guy that overachieves, right? That's able to go up and maybe slam dunk. You're like, how could that guy ever slam dunk, right? He doesn't have that body to slam dunk, right? But, and I think that's what we get passionate about in sports. And I think racing is the same way. A horse that might not have the million-dollar pedigree, maybe it's a $5,000 purchase or a $10,000 purchase, but boy, that horse is a hard trier.
All right, last question. That is, how soon? Now, of course, you mentioned you have horses that have legacy because of their mom and dad, so to speak.
Yep.
How soon can you recognize that this horse has a chance to be a champion thoroughbred?
Yeah, I think pretty early on. If you most sales, big sales in the thoroughbred world are during the yearling year. So that's when a horse is about a year and a half old. People will spend $1 million, $2 million, $3 million dollars on a horse that is never raced, never stepped foot on a racetrack, just from the way it looks at a year and a half old and its pedigree. So, you know, the question then is, can the horse stay healthy? Can the horse stay sound? Can it live up to the potential? There's been a lot of high-dollar purchases that the horse never made it to the races, wasn't even fast enough to get on the racetrack. And, again, to use a basketball analogy, probably some 16-year-olds that looked like they were going to be superstars that, for whatever reason, injury, whatnot, just, you know, they could never make it, even at the college level.
Got it. Robert, great to visit with you. Congratulations on 50 years for the program, and keep up the great work. And I hope people come to recognize what your program has done for the industry, not just here in Tucson, but all over the world, really.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
All right. Robert Hartman, chair of the Racetrack Industry Program at the U of A. Tommy Lloyd's going to race up here next. When we come back, this is Wildcat Basketball from Arizona Sports Enterprises. All right, welcome back. Union Public House. It's a Thursday night. We talk Wildcat basketball. Great to have you along. We're outdoors on the patio on a beautiful night here, and the Wildcats are headed for Texas and Oklahoma this week and then back home after that. And coming off a great weekend with two wins, including the victory over Baylor this past Saturday, or was it Tuesday? I don't know. I keep getting mixed up here, Coach, because it's the Big 12 schedule. So we never know what day it is, right?
No, and that's what I told our guys today. I don't even know what today is. What's today? Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? But hey, we have to practice good. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. All right, well, I don't like to categorize games in like, okay, best game of the season or whatever, because you always hope your next one is going to be the best. But your game against Baylor was one of the best, obviously, beating an outstanding team like that.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great game. It was an important one for us, and we needed to play well to win it. But first off, I'm sorry for being a few minutes late. It's first day of classes. We're kind of figuring out our schedule, and I know the show's a little earlier. But I was here. I was just sitting in the car listening to Robert talk. I thought he was great.
He is.
So that's something that Nate, me, and Matt have talked about is, you know, having some other guests from the university, because there's so many cool things at the university, you know, that I'm still continuing to learn about. Like, I had no idea we had a race industry program, and then Robert got a hold of me and, you know, started developing a friendship, and it's just really cool. And there's so many other programs. The university is so expansive, so many great things, and I know our job as a program, I mean, obviously, you know, I have to focus on winning and building a team, but at the end of the day, we have to represent the university, and we have to put eyes on the university. You put eyes on the university, you know, you create some excitement and some good momentum. And then, you know, there's all these programs that are they're really the foundation of the university. We're icing on the cake. So thank you for doing that. I mean, I think that's really cool.
Oh, it was a great guest. And I've admired that program for a long, long time. And I'm looking forward to Coach Lloyd's legacy running in another year or so.
I know. I mean, they said I'm too big to be a jockey. And so and I'm not great on a horse. So, hopefully they find the right jockey and the right trainer. But I did go out. And Robert had me out there, and my daughter and I went out there and met the horse. You know, it's kind of weird for me to call it Coach Lloyd's legacy, but we met the horse, and beautiful horse. Yeah. It's got a little dandelion on its nose, and I mean, it's big. So it's going to be exciting to see what happens.
All right, that's going to be fun. All right, 7-game winning streak right now. What are some of the things that have your team's achieved here to get this streak going?
Well, I just think we're getting more comfortable doing our jobs. You know, and you know, we've talked about this before. You know, the season's been a little bit of a there's been some transition in the season, and then there's been some progression. You know, the transition was maybe changing the way we played a little bit offensively. You know, when Crevis kind of started off slow because of the injury, then got hurt permanently, you know, we had to make some decisions. And I think our guys are getting more comfortable how we want to play and the certainties we have on offense. I think our fundamentals are getting better. And just the guys are understanding their roles and where their opportunities can come from better. I think defensively, we've gotten better. I think we have some lapses still that I would like to iron out, but all in all, I think we've gotten better, and the guys are getting better at schemes and game plans and all those things. And you know, hey, we've always believed we had a good team. You know, that could be challenged when you lose a couple games and you know a couple close games in particular, and don't get off to the start you want to get to. But you have to stay the course, and you know you don't stay the course, you know, with your head in the sand. You stay the course with your eyes wide open and trying to figure out, you know, what we got to do. And so I think these guys have done a good job with that. But that being said, there's a lot of work ahead. I mean, let's not act like it's over because, you know, I'm looking at that schedule, and, you know, you could drop a couple close games at any moment. And so we got to stay the course, and we got a real challenging road trip ahead of us. It's our last two-game road trip, which is weird for you and I. Mm-hmm. We're used to going on the road and playing two.
Right.
But now, you know, it's the last time we do that for the year, and then all for the rest of the year it'll all be pretty much a game home, a game away. You know, so that'll be interesting to see how that feels. So we want to go out and play well in this two-game road trip. It's important.
You know, we've watched now here in the last couple of weeks, 8-man rotation, and you've mixed and matched different things. And even against Baylor, we saw K.J. Lewis bringing the ball up court a couple of times. The versatility of this team, how is that helping it?
Well, it's been great. You know, you started the season playing the three, now he's playing the four. Henry started playing the four, now he's playing the five. And sometimes that happens just through injury and attrition a little bit. And then, you know, we're figuring out, you know, kind of the backup point guard. You know, listen, I love Conrad, but there are just some tough matchups here game to game that, you know, I'm having to try to figure out. And, you know, KJ's doing a good job in there. Caleb can do a good job as well, you know, just kind of steadying the course. But JB's been carrying a heavy load. I mean, Jaden's been, you know, we've been riding him hard. And, you know, I'm watching that close. But right now it looks to me he can handle that, you know. And you know, but you know, I also got to be mindful of it's a long season. And I want to make sure that, you know, we have the right energy at the right time down the stretch. So I'm gonna watch that closely. And, you know, the rotation, it's probably getting a little more solidified, but, you know, it might change game to game based on, you know, just, you know, how we think things need to go.
All right. Cats headed to Lubbock on Saturday. Stillwater tonight, Union Public House with head coach Tommy Lloyd. More coming up. This is Wildcat Basketball from Arizona Sports Enterprises. All right, back here at Union Public House with head coach Tommy Lloyd, Arizona, Texas Tech on Saturday, noon tip, and then Tuesday at Oklahoma State, 7 o'clock. We'll start that one. Then the Wildcats home on Saturday, the 25th, to take on the Colorado Buffaloes. We'll see a team that we've seen before, obviously, as members of the same conference for quite some time. Coach, I want to jump ahead and just ask you a little bit about the Red Raiders and start out with JT Toppin. He's number 15. He's a big dude, and he's a good player, and kind of looks to be the heart and soul of their team.
Yeah, I mean, he's a very mobile, great athlete, left-handed, which makes him interesting. Got great touch on his shot. He's got a real nose for the ball, and he does a great job of capturing the ball with two hands. So, you know, presents a ton of challenges, and they do a really good job putting him in advantageous situations for his skill set.
All right, Texas Tech is a really good three-point shooting team just based on their statistics. Is it a team that – are they hunting threes?
You mean for sure. I mean, they do a great job of trying to figure out matchups and space the floor. You know, they figure out matchups, you know, where they think they can, you know, create some isolation scenarios and then, you know, space it the right way so they can, you know, create some gravity and tilt the floor in those directions. Well, are you going to give up the ISO or are you going to give up the kick out three? So they force you to make a lot of those decisions, and you know, they've shot the ball really, really well. And you know, I mean, I think they had a tough game against UCF, you know, I had obviously watched because we played UCF, and but then, you know, they backed it up, and you know, they really had a great opportunity in that Iowa State game over the weekend to pull that thing off. So, you know, all in all, you know, they're a really solid program with a great coach, you know, who happens to be probably, you know, my closest friend in the coaching business. So, you know, I'm not necessarily looking forward to playing against him, but it is what it is. And, you know, he and I would have never guessed that when we took these jobs, but here we are.
Well, and you and Grant are going to coach again, of course, this next summer together, and you have in the past. How did you get to know Coach?
Well, you know, as young coaches, you know, we've been at this thing. I think what this is my 26th year. So when you're a young coach, you know, sometimes you're on the road a lot. And, you know, you're out looking for players. And I was a young assistant at Gonzaga, and he was actually a young assistant coach at Midland College in Texas. And then became the head coach at Midland, at JUCO there. And, you know, he and I kind of crossed paths. You know, I was recruiting a few of their players, and we just developed a great relationship. And actually went over when we were young and to do some coaching clinic type stuff over in Africa together. So that you talk about an opportunity to get close to somebody. You go to the middle of Nigeria in the middle of nowhere. You know, you kind of bond. So we formed a great relationship there. And you know, we had an opportunity, you know, to coach together in the USA basketball stuff, which was a ton of fun. So you know, always enjoy being around him and enjoy his conversations. But no, we got our hands full on Saturday. Whatever. So, you and I tell, we don't know what day it is.
Whatever day it is.
Yeah.
So you two guys know each other on a personal level. How about a professional level? I mean, have you shared a lot in terms of your you know, coaching style and what you like to do?
Well, I mean, you know, I was the head coach and he was the assistant. So, you know, a lot of times you run the head coach's stuff. So, you know, we didn't run much of Grant's stuff. We ran my stuff. So, you know, he probably got a little bit familiar with some of this stuff. But, you know, he's watched our team play so much over the years. I've watched his team plays. You know, at the end of the day, it's normal scouting. And, you know, I think you got to, you know, I mean, there might be a few things here and there, but I don't think it'll impact the game much.
Look forward to that one on Saturday, Arizona, Texas Tech. Tonight, Union Public House. More with head coach Tommy Lloyd in a moment. This is Wildcat Basketball from Arizona Sports Enterprises. All right, welcome back to Union Public House. Thursday nights, we're out talking Wildcat basketball back on the patio after, last week it was a little chilly, so we stayed indoors, but a beautiful day today, beautiful night tonight. Glad that everybody could make it out. Wildcats on the road this week to Texas Tech and Oklahoma State, and then back a week from Saturday against Colorado at McHale Center. Coach, one of those, I mean, there's lots of numbers we look at all the time, and one thing that your team has steadily improved upon is free throw shooting. How much emphasis do you put on that during practice?
You know, not a lot during practice, to be honest with you. You know, I think that's more of like an individual skill that guys work on outside of practice. We do a lot of outside of team practice because, you know, for me, and everyone has their preference, I've always felt the number one way to drag down and slow down a practice is do a bunch of shooting. And, you know, everybody's over kind of doing their own thing and shooting, or you're doing it with big groups so they're not getting enough repetition in a small amount of time. And sometimes, to me, it's always been kind of hard to rally the team back together to go to live action. So we do a lot of live stuff, breakdown live stuff, live, breakdown live stuff. We do that. And then we do the shooting. Kind of a lot of the guys do their shooting in the morning, and some of them even come back again at night.
Well, obviously, they're doing a good job with
it,
too.
Yeah, no question. I mean, I think I felt like we should be a good free throw shooting team, and I don't know what our percentage right now. What is it?
It's 70. I'll look at it. It's 70-something. It's
Which is
well
great.
Above 70%.
Which is great. Which is great because, you know, I think we have a better shooting team than our numbers indicate, but free throw shooting should be a strength of ours.
74.6.
Yeah, well, that's great. You know, that's great. And, you know, another way, you know, and it's no knock on anybody, but – you know, one of the reasons you think you're going to be a better free throw shooting team is just, you know, Umar shot a lot of free throws last year, and it's not his strength. And now I love the fact that he drew a lot of fouls, because to me that impacts the game in other ways. But you know, just having maybe guys that shoot free throws better, you know, is just that's the number one way to be a better free throw shooting team.
All right. Speaking of guys that have kind of settled into this rotation, Anthony Del Orso hit three huge threes on Saturday. I mean, it seemed to spark the club. It sparked the fans. It really got things going. And his confidence level just seems to grow every time you see him out there.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's really settled in. And, you know, what was kind of cool is, you know, we were tinkering with the lineup and here and there. And, you know, it was KJ, then it was Carter, and then I kind of settled in on him. And the team started playing good, but he wasn't necessarily putting up great numbers. But we hung with it. And now I think we're getting to the other side of that, because I just feel like Carter and KJ are so comfortable where they're at. if we could just get Dele comfortable where he's at, and I think he is now, you know, playing that starting role. And, you know, it's nice having shooting on the floor to start the game. It really is. You know, I've always just been a big believer, man, if you can make a three or two before that first media timeout, I mean, it's pretty significant. I mean, 6 points in that first 4 minutes, and you get another basket, and you look up, and, you know, it's 8-4. That's a pretty good feeling. So just having that shooting on the floor early in the game is something that I think that's been a positive. And you know, that was a great, you know, program moment for him. You know, I always tell guys, you kind of need to find your Arizona moments. And, you know, I can't script it for you. And, you know, it's going to be in live action. It's going to come to you. When that opportunity comes, you got to wrap your arms around it. And he hit a three, I think, kind of on a broken play. And then he made one, it might have been two broken play threes. And then the last one, I think we got a big defensive stop. We came up and hit him, and he hit another three. And, you know, they call a timeout, and the place goes crazy. And, you know, I mean, I think it was good to keep everybody awake because it was late at night.
It was. Okay, one thing, you know, sometimes when a player gets a hot hand like that, they get going, then they just keep shooting. I thought maybe one of the best things that Dele did was he didn't force anything after that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we, you know, hey, you know, the next shot should be the best team shot. And, you know, you talk to guys about that. And, yeah, listen, guys get in the zone or whatever. They want to do the heat check, whatever they call it. But you know, I mean, it shows signs of maturity when you could turn that down to make sure we're getting great team shots. And, you know, I just felt like our guys have really settled in on offense for the most part. And, you know, not that the next game could be challenging or the next segment of the next game, you know, could be challenging. This is how basketball goes. But I think our guys have settled in and are finding better overall shots.
One other quick question about Texas Tech. What kind of defense will your team see?
Mostly man-to-man. You know, mostly man-to-man. And I think, you know, they definitely are comfortable scheming and game planning, you know. So, you know, what you might see on film the game before is what you might not see in live action the next game. So, you know, I mean, you know, they've Grant's always been a kind of a defensive – minded coach, you know, probably defense first. And so, you know, I'm sure they'll have, you know, a few things up their sleeve against us, you know, that we'll probably have to figure out on the fly.
All right, Cats and Red Raiders coming up on Saturday tonight at Union Public House with head coach Tommy Lloyd. More in a moment. This is Wildcat Basketball from Arizona Sports Enterprises. All right, back here at Union Public House. Cats getting ready for a road trip out to Texas and Oklahoma, then back home on Saturday the 25th against Colorado. That'll be an afternoon game. And then a couple days later, Iowa State will come to town. And, Coach, we got through the first two conference road games at Cincinnati, West Virginia. Tremendous environments. And I get the impression, I asked a couple of your players, I said, you know, what did you think of that? And I think K.J. Lewis told me that he loves it. He gets his juices going, even though you're the opposing team and the fans don't like you, it brings out the best of teams, I think.
Yeah, no doubt. And we've never shied away from those moments. And, you know, the one thing, it's great playing in McHale. Trust me, if I could play every game in McHale, I would. But, you know, what sometimes is the most rewarding is going on the road and getting a road win in a hostile environment. And it's kind of a us against the world mentality. So, you know, we love that. We embrace that. And, you know, it really – really challenges you. I mean, you got to have great discipline. You have to have great toughness. You have stick-to-itiveness because, you know, there's going to be there's this naturally going to be these big runs and the crowd's going to get behind it. And you got to go do a great job just hanging in there.
All right. Well, speaking of runs, and you addressed it after the game the other night, and I think we talked about it after the Cincinnati game, getting those leads and holding those leads. And, you know, your team did hold the lead against Baylor. I mean, it got down to 9, yeah. But it was never like a – They weren't a shot or two away from winning the ball game or anything. How do you go about it? Is there teaching moments there in terms of you got the lead?
Listen, there's a lot of things, and we have been talking about it. We worked on some of it today. Is just, you know, one of the biggest things is continuing to run good offense. Don't turn the ball over. I mean, naturally, they're going to get a little more aggressive and desperate on defense, and they're going to take more chances. So you got to have just a little bit more ball security and be a little bit tougher and make sure that you're not – you know, coughing up turnovers that lead directly to quick baskets for them, because that gives them momentum. They can set up their press, and you're facing even more pressure, you know, and then making sure, you know, defensively, a lot of times, you know, like Baylor did a good job kind of just putting their head down and driving India and kind of, you know, making it comfortable. Are you going to foul them? Are you going to let them go? And, you know, and just kind of put their head down and put it in the ref's hands a little bit. So you got to be able to handle both those scenarios. It's really important.
All right, we're going to get Trey Townsend up here in a couple of minutes, and I'll ask you about Trey. Of course, he came in from Oakland University, averaged 17 points there, and I've watched One thing in particular, again, I'm just look at stats. His shooting percentage has been climbing and climbing and climbing. So what does that tell you about him?
Well, you know, Trey's one of those guys, and I'm probably too hard on him. Like, you know, every time he misses, I feels like he should make it, you know, because he does such a great job, you know, getting shots on his terms and being on balance. And, you know, he's just a great finisher. And, you know, I think he's getting more and more comfortable, you know, finding his spots kind of on his own within what we do. And that's really the most effective way to play. If you know, we could run all these plays, and, you know, every time I run a play, well, you know, I mean, the opponent can scout it, and then they could take away your first option or your second option, and then now you got to play. So what I've always, my philosophy has always been, let's teach them how to play. And really focus on the just playing and the random moments and having some concepts and some certainties within just free-flowing basketball that we can hang our hat on, and guys find their opportunities from there. And so Trey's doing a great job of that. He's somebody we're really comfortable having the ball in that free-throw line area, or even if he's isolated on the block, I'm comfortable with him at the top of the key, you know. And so, you know, he's played himself out in the corners a lot, and he's getting better there. So, you know, all in all, I think he's really figuring it out and, you know, kind of blending with other guys and maybe a different system. But I think the biggest area of growth has been defensively. I think he's doing a great job defensively and really made real progress there. I mean, he did a great job, you know, on guarding, you know, 15 going into the last game for them. The Norchad Omir kid was our man. He ain't no kid. You know, he was their leading scorer, leading rebounder, and I thought he did a great job on him, you know. Putting foul pressure on him and, you know, game.
All right. Well, congratulations on the great homestand and seven straight. Look forward to Lubbock on Saturday. And we'll also keep an eye on Coach Lloyd's legacy, of course, here.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's do that. I'm interested to see where he ends up.
Okay, very good.
All right.
All right, thanks, Coach.
Thank you.
Head Coach Tommy Lloyd, when we come back, Trey Townsend will join us. This is Wildcat Basketball from Arizona Sports Enterprises. All right, welcome back again to Union Public House. We're here Thursday nights to talk Wildcat basketball 5 to 6. Hope you can join us next week when the Wildcats get set to return home, of course. Pleased to be joined by senior Trey Townsend out of Oxford, Michigan. Wildcats starting, I hate putting labels on you guys because you can play so many different positions. As Coach said, what do you call yourself? Well, if somebody says, hey, what position do you play, Trey?
I'd give myself the forward spot for
okay.
Sure.
Yeah. All right. That's good. Well, that's one of your many attributes. So tell us about the season so far for you. I mean, it's been, you know, a great turnaround for these guys. You've won seven straight games, and I know it's – we got a lot of basketball yet to be played, but where do you see the team right now?
Yeah, exactly like you said. We got a lot of basketball left, and, you know, we started a little shaky trying to figure out who we were. You know, we have a lot of talented guys on this team, as I hope you guys have seen. And like you said, we've been coming along, figuring it out seven straight, and, you know, we're in a great spot and rolling and, you know, heading down two tough road games again and hoping to keep rolling there and come back home for two home games.
Okay, when do you feel like things started to get figured out? Was there a point in time?
I think, yeah, it's been through that whole, you know, end of fall, early winter era, you know, going through struggles like that. You know, a lot of guys here haven't gone through things like that, but we've had a handful of guys, transfers and players that have gone through moments like that, myself included. So we were able to really connect as a group of guys, get back from the Bahamas, obviously lose a tough one in Phoenix to UCLA. And I think at that moment we were really, you know, locked in and put full trust in Coach Lloyd and the whole staff and each other and ourselves and just really believed and, you know, threw it all out there to be where we are now.
How much different, or can you compare maybe the Oakland offense to the Arizona offense? Was it a big change for you?
Yeah, honestly, it was a big change, and that was something I struggled with when I got here in the beginning of the summer. You know, at Oakland, camp was very set-oriented. Really, every time down the floor, we were running a set play. You know, it was wait, get to your spots, and execute this play to get a good shot. Whereas here it's a lot more free-flowing, a lot more up and down. And, you know, you're scoring a lot more points. You know, here we're trying to score 90-plus. At Oakland, it was 65 on average most days. So definitely a big change there.
Okay, so I was just mentioning to Coach that I've looked back at your last dozen ball games. You've been shooting 56% over the last 12 games. Is that because you're feeling more comfortable or the shots fall? Is there something better you're doing mechanically, or how do you see it?
I think it's just a mix of confidence, but also, you know, the work I've been getting in with Coach Ken. He's done a great job trying to build that confidence, but also the skill that goes along with finishing. I'd always prided myself on being an efficient player, and now it's just getting in that offense and finding those spots to make, you know, easy buckets and not put too much stress on myself and shoot tough shots.
Okay. Well, this is your fifth year, and so you've kind of got your college thing taken care of, but what have you enjoyed about the academic side when you got here to Arizona?
It's definitely a lot less strenuous. I don't have any in-person classes. Obviously, like you said, I did the 4 years and got my degree at Oakland, so I had my fair share of in-person classes there. But the travel schedule here is we're just getting into it. It's definitely a lot easier to balance the school side of things, being online and being able to work on the road. So I'm thankful for that definitely this year.
So you got some fun classes that you've taken?
You know, I a couple of fun classes. I didn't want to feel like, you know, I wasn't doing anything. My mom wanted me to really still be focused on school. So I studied digital media production and communications at Oakland. So I stuck with a couple of digital media classes so I could, you know, enjoy what I was doing in the classroom, but also, you know, get some work done.
Very good. Well, speaking of your mom and dad, you told me here that you had a chance. They've had a chance to see you play quite a bit this season. How special is that for you?
It's been amazing. You know, when I came here, it was kind of, you know, they'll try to make it out every now and then whenever they can, because it's quite a travel trying to, you know, get to Tucson from Detroit. But the whole 2024, you know, slate of games we had, I think they missed maybe one or two games. You know, they came down to the Bahamas, and just having them there, it's been amazing. You know, they were with me every step of the way at Oakland, and my dad is taking pictures down on the courts, been able to be in these big atmospheres down there. Kind of feels like he's in the game with me at times, being that close. And, you know, my mom has started out my college career. It's been stressful for her to kind of watch me play, and now she's just, you know, learning to enjoy it all and just, you know, be happy where I'm at.
All right. Speaking of environments, and I was talking to Coach Lloyd about this, you've played two tough road games in two tough environments. What, as a player, when you go out on the court and you've got a full house and they don't like you because you're the opposing team, how do you react or do you even pay attention to that?
Yeah, obviously, you know, it's hard not to pay attention to it. Like you said, 10, 15,000 people cheered against you, but those are the moments that you always dream of. You know, when I was growing up, it was you want to play in those moments, be in those big games, and here night in and night out, whether it's home or away, you're always playing in front of 12,000-plus people. But, you know, what it comes down to is, you know, you're just playing the game you love. You know, it's you try to play like nobody's in the gym. You know, you're going to hear the boos, the cheers at home, but you want to just focus on what got you to the moment and trust in your teammates and just play the game you love.
All right, you're playing a Texas Tech team that shoots the three really well. They've got a number of guys that can shoot the three-pointer. At your position, take us through what you need to do defensively when you're matched up against a good three-point shooting player on the other team.
Yeah, I think, you know, looking at both the teams that are coming up, but also just, you know, every team in this league, everyone's just so talented, you know, one through five. For my position, obviously, with four men that can shoot, you want to get out there and contest them, but also, you know, they're strong physical guys kind of like I am. Like, I'm slightly undersized for my position, but I feel I make up for it with strength and, you know, just pushing guys around. But, you know, in the Big 12, that's what all the guys are like. So you just try to, you know, find the weaknesses. Coach Ken's got a great scout for us, and we've put in a good plan. We're going to get back after it tomorrow. But, you know, like I said, try to limit the threes and, you know, be super physical.
All right. How much does leverage come into play? Because you talked about the fact you're a strong guy. You matched up with, like, Omer the other day, who's bigger than you, but your strength won out over that. How do you compensate for that?
Yeah, I think it started when I first got to college. I was 190 pounds when I got to Oakland and thrusted into the center spot there my freshman year and had to learn. My best friend who was there with me for 4 years was 6'10", so I was battling with him every day trying to learn, you know, how can I outmaneuver him when he's got the height and the weight on me. And leverage is a big thing, being able to have a strong base. And, you know, I got here and Coach Round says – change my body for the better and giving me that strength to just battle, but got to get low, got to box out and be physical.
All right. A couple more minutes here with U of A forward Trey Townsend before the Wildcats take on Texas Tech on a Saturday. I always like to pry into the locker room here. Goofiest guy on the team right now.
You know, I feel a popular vote would be E-Man, but to me, Will Kirkendall is one of the funniest people I've ever met. No matter the situation, you can make any moment funny, and I feel like that's a guy you got to have around.
You know, Will's one of those guys that, you know, because of, you know, he doesn't get to play a lot. You've got a group of walk-on guys that don't see the floor very much, but and yet they're such an integral part of the team. How does that all fit together? Because those guys sacrifice a lot to do what they do. They don't get all the glory, but they make you better.
Right? 100%. You know, they come to practice every day expected to give the same amount of effort that the scholarships guys do. And obviously, like you said, they don't reap the reward on the court playing in a sense, but I know that and we appreciate, you know, the joy and cheer and energy that they bring, and they feel that that's just as important as us playing, which it is, you know, having guys like that day in and day out, you know, accepting their role and just being those guys like Will, Champ, and Grant, you know, especially those two guys who've been through it for a few years. It's something special to have, and none of us take it for granted for sure.
All right, you already gave us a peek into your academic background. So whenever the day basketball is over for you, what would you like to do?
I'm really into videography and video editing and things of that nature. So I'd still like to be around sports, whether it's with a professional organization or a college team. I'd like to be a videographer and, you know, just stick around sports, but the digital side.
Absolutely. Hey, Trey, it's great having you. Keep up the great work, and let's get some more wins. How about that?
Let's do it. Thanks
right.
for having me.
Trey Townsend, our guest. We'll wrap it up in a moment. This is Wildcat Basketball from Arizona Sports Enterprises. Well, there's nothing better than celebrating a championship, and we want to invite everybody out next Thursday, a week from today, to the Cole and Jeannie Davis Sports Center, because it's a special celebration of the 2024 Women's Triathlon National Championship. The team will be there, and this ceremony is going to be all for them, and what a great accomplishment they've put together in such a brief history, of course, of the program. The ceremony starts at 4. It will conclude with the unveiling of the national championship banner. So we'd like to see everybody out there. That's a week from today, Thursday, January 23rd, at the Davis Sports Center on campus. It starts at 4 as you get to celebrate the Women's Triathlon National Championship. Look forward to that. All right, Cats will head out on the road. They'll be at Texas Tech on Saturday. That game will tip off at noon Arizona time, and then on to Stillwater, Oklahoma to face Oklahoma State on Tuesday night at 7, and back home again on Saturday the 25th. Colorado Buffaloes come to town for a 1 p.m. ball game. The rest of the schedule coming up this week: on Saturday in the Big 12, Houston at Central Florida, Kansas State visits Kansas, Arizona State at Cincinnati, Colorado at Oklahoma State, Iowa State visits West Virginia, BYU will be at Utah, and one game on Sunday, that's TCU at Baylor. Arizona, Iowa State, and Houston currently atop the standings with 5-0 records. And one note on Texas Tech, and kind of a turnabout in terms of what you look at when you get into conference play. The Red Raiders are 3-0 in conference road games this year, the only team to be 3-0 right now. But Texas Tech is 0-2 at home in conference games. So you know they're going to be ready for the Wildcats coming up on Saturday. We look forward to that. We'll be on there at 11:30 again, tip-off schedule for 12 noon on Saturday from Lubbock, Texas. Want to thank again our guest tonight, Robert Hartman, chair of the Racetrack Industry Program at the University of Arizona. And by the way, if you'd like more information, you can check their website. It's RTIP, as in Racetrack Industry Program, rtip.arizona.edu. And you can look into everything that they have done over the past 50 years and what's ahead as well. And if you have a student or are a student interested in the program, you can find out more information there. We're back again next Thursday here at Union Public House. If the weather is great like it was today and tonight, we'll be outdoors. Hope you can join us on the patio for that. Thanks for everybody coming out tonight, and we'll see you next week. Wildcat Basketball from Arizona Sports Enterprises.
You've been listening to the Tommy Lloyd Radio Show. Join us every week for the latest on Wildcat Basketball. The Tommy Lloyd Radio Show is a production of Arizona Sports Enterprises. Listen to the Wildcats throughout the season on this station of the Arizona Radio Network.